Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man who's teaching small business how to embrace social media. The king of tweets.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now. To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and we're going to be glad you're with me because we got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is editor, one of the great editors over at the Kiplinger Editors. They're the folks who create the Kiplinger Letter, which is the flagship of all their brands over at Kiplinger Washington Editors, and been around since 1923, and we talk about it at least a little bit every week. I like to tell you a little bit about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back,
Thank
as always.
You.
Jim, one of the things that that you've got on the homepage today, which is very, very much in the news right now, is the financial regulation legislation that's going through. As you probably know, it just passed the House.
That's right.
By a reasonable majority. But there's a lot of wrangling and horse trading and politicking going on over, I mean, the sausage mill is really moving around over there in the, on the Senate side, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's like, you know, so often the House will do things, that's fine, but it really comes down to the Senate, and that's where, ultimately it's the Senate where the real business gets done. Then they try to put the sausage pieces back together in a conference.
Well, now, it's my understanding that where it is right now, Jim, is where it's going to have to stay, that they're not going to be able to muck around with it. They either vote for it, it's either up or down in the Senate with what they have right now.
Well, yes, but of course, on that, to get votes, there are promises made.
Oh, yeah, there will be, that's where the, as you say, that's where the sausage is going to come in.
Right.
But the final cost is one of the things that we know is they're not going to vote on the Senate side until after the 4th, right, when they come back.
Yeah, that's right. They've run out of time on that.
Right.
And, you know, the calendar dictates so very much over here, but it's after the 4th.
Now, one of the reasons for this bill is what's on your homepage, on your front page this week, and that is what the final total is, what the tally is for what the Fed spent to rescue the financial companies.
That's right. And now we're not talking about stimulus funds, not the $789 billion.
Right.
But this is separate. To rescue.
This is a bailout stuff.
That's right. Various institutions, whether it be AIG, Fannie, Freddie, or say General Motors, Chrysler, you know, the total cost could be up to $450 billion. And if you think we explain this, who's in, who's out, what may be recovered. Bottom line is that the United States and taxpayers likely will recover some of that money.
Jim, let's compare this to the what was the SNL bailout? Was it $87 billion? Is that what I remember? Back in the 80s, in the early 90s, when the government had to bail out the SNL industry.
Yeah, we looked at it.
Was it 87 or 187? I've forgotten.
Put it this way. It may have been about something just under $190 billion.
Okay.
But so what we're saying here is that, you know, this bailout is at least twice as large dollar amount. But they crunched the numbers and they said, you know, we look roughly the same dollar amount, you know, as a share of GDP.
Gross domestic product.
Right. That's right. So it, you know, it is significant, but of course that was one issue, one area. It was
right.
It was complex, but
that created a lot of mayhem. I was involved in that industry in those
days.
Right. But it all goes all the way back to 85, 86, 87.
87. Right.
But it didn't take down a global economy.
It was
to some degree, to a large degree, it was a regional type of thing. It was a Sunbelt. It was a Sunbelt thing.
That is correct.
It didn't affect New York really all that much.
No, it mainly Sunbelt states. a lot where big SNLs.
Right. And, but this this has been more systemic, hasn't it?
It's
I mean, we haven't seen this kind of. I heard Alan Greenspan say today on the news. I heard him say that this was the worst financial crisis in history. In other words, he didn't say since the Great Depression.
The Great Depression.
Now he didn't say. He said the Great Depression was the greatest economic disaster we've ever had. But he said this was the worst financial disaster we've had.
I would say, you know, there is a lot to that.
It's interesting to see him differentiate those two.
Yeah. And
hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come back a little bit more on the bailouts, some more totals. We're going to talk about some economic forecasts, some new information that Kiplinger has, and move on and talk about some other topics as we continue in the hour. It's 22. I'm Jim Blassingame. Jim Mostroff is our guest.
I've been in love 10,000 times. All you gotta do is remember my. I was drowned. I was washed on the land for a day.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there to help you with your small business. Don't forget to take our poll question on the homepage, where when you answer the question and submit it, it'll pop up the immediate results to date on how people have voted, including your vote. You can see where you fit in with everybody else. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. We'll send you that every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. Archives, articles, Brain Trust members, the newsletter, the blog, the knowledge base, AskJim.biz, all that stuff to help you with your small business. Check it out when you get a chance. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Jim, the breaking down some of this, we're talking about the bailout of the financial industry, and you say it could get as high as $450 billion. Some of that money has already come back. More of it is coming back. We don't know whether we'll get all of it back, but as it turns out, it's not going to be a total bust, right? Because we're going to get some of it back.
Well, we will.
Will we ever get anything back from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, though? That's
it's questionable.
And AIG is not looking too good either, is it?
No, I mean, AIG is looking to sell off its foreign subsidiary and maybe raise $100 billion. You know,
but we've already got how much we're going to have. We could have $300 billion in AIG eventually, couldn't we?
It's 100. I got to say, but it's 100. We calculate $132 billion so far in AIG, and there's provision for another $50 billion if needed. So, you know, it could be over $180 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, they claim they're going to, you know, they want to go and sell their foreign sector, their foreign subsidiary, and hopefully raise $100 billion. You know, and I should say, of the $132 billion, you know, Kiplinger says, we look and we'll probably, the taxpayers will probably spend at least $30 billion. That is, we'll have to eat that
net, the net loss.
But
GM, if GM goes public, if GM does an IPO soon, we'll get that money back.
They are.
Will that get the government out of the car company?
Eventually.
Will they divest?
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you something, Jim. I own a GMC SUV, and I love it. It's a great automobile. I bought it 2 years ago.
Right.
I won't buy it. I have to tell you, I will not buy from a car company that the government or the unions own. If the government owns it, part of it, or the unions own part of it, I won't buy a car. I don't want any part of anything like that.
We have looked into it, and there, I'll say objectively, there are many consumers in the United States who feel the same way. No matter what you say about
this. If the unions stay in, I'm not going to buy from that company.
Well, I should say this, that GM will be looking to do an IPO, sell shares over the next 2, maybe 3 years, and buy out Uncle Sam and the UAW.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantees on that it'll succeed.
Well, they need to understand that that's a flashpoint. That's a blink level for a lot of people.
And actually, they do, and that's why they're looking to do an IPO as soon as possible.
Yeah.
One of about three.
Yeah. That's the thing about America. You can be redeemed in America.
Right.
You can fail. You can come back. You know, a lot of people have done that.
They're a second act.
And we'll give GM, we'll allow them to redeem themselves, but they got to do it the right way.
And they, I got to say, they know about this consumer factor, and that's why they're trying to get the government out and union as quickly
right.
as possible. It'll take a few years.
Let's move over and talk about some of the forecasts that you guys have.
Right.
GDP, you guys are still hanging with 3.5%.
Still saying about 3.5%.
Pollyanna, welcome to the party.
Right, and which would be nice and robust, which also means that economic growth will be much stronger in the second half of the year.
You're saying that interest rates are going to stay pretty up a little, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, prime rate about 3.25% until
right.
January, February or so next year, and actually inflation slowing down.
That's are we don't have deflation,
no.
But we've got disinflation.
That is what is happening right now.
And there's an important distinction there, isn't there?
There is. If you have deflation, that means, it's falling.
And right. That means what you bought today isn't worth as much tomorrow.
That's right.
Disinflation means that things aren't inflating as much.
As quickly, much. And that kept that way for a while. That's fine. That's okay for me.
But I had one of my economists, Bob McTeer, was on last week, and I asked him if there's a concern for deflation globally, and he said yes.
Well, that is one of the global concerns right now that's keeping people awake at night, and that would be bad. But right now we see just sort of slowing growth in inflation, and if it's for a while, for the rest of this year, a little next year, that's okay, as long as things don't just head south.
Now, consumer confidence recently took a hit, but you guys say overall for the year it's going to be up.
Versus last year, it should be up marginally this year, which is good.
Well, you need that. You need that for that 3.5% growth you're talking about.
You do. It's nice, to have it rise a little bit, but nothing spectacular or sterling this year. I mean, that's
sad. And you're hoping you unemployment, you're saying that's going to inch down a little bit.
And by the end of this year, about 9.5% from just around 10 right now.
But we're still in what someone called the mother of all jobless recoveries, Jim.
It's
structural now, isn't it?
It is, and companies generally are not hiring very much. They're concerned, and as we've talked before many times, institutions are holding on to money as well.
Yep, absolutely. Hold on to that thought, Jim. Quick break, folks. 10 till. Right back after these messages. We're going to talk about a lot of other things as we wrap up the hour with Jim Ostroff. Stay with us. Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Kiplinger's website is kiplinger.com. Jim Ostroff is with the Kiplinger editors. Jim, it's kiplinger.com. You got a toll-free number, too, don't you?
Yes, we do. It's 800-544-0155.
And that's where you can find the Kiplinger letter, which is what Jim and I work off of every week. It comes out on Friday. And they'll mail it to you. They'll email it to you. Also, the biweekly letters, the tax letter and the agriculture letter. And then you got that magazine.
We have Kipling's Personal Finance Magazine.
Don't forget that it's also available on newsstands and you can subscribe on the website. Don't forget the 30-day free trial, kiplinger.com. Hey, Jim, let's move over and talk about, on the bottom of page 2, it looks like the card check bill is not going to go through, and this is happy news for me. For every small business out there.
I should say that, they've tried again on this, and
this is the union bill, folks, that was going to give unions the ability to walk up, and basically the card check bill was going to get rid of one of the sacred elements of our nation, and that's the secret ballot.
Well, yes.
And it looks like that's not going to pass, and that's good.
It will not pass this year.
Should never pass.
Yeah, and I should say it's one of those things that's sort of sacrosanct for organized labor, but it will not pass.
Move over and talk about on travel. there's the good news for you say for the beleaguered U.S. tourism business is that the their inbound a lot of inbound visitors are going to continue for why is that?
Yeah, well, it's they love America. That's basically it. You know, I mean, maybe there's a you know, we're talking here about
because the dollar and the euro are getting closer to. They're coming together, and so from an exchange rate standpoint, it's not as good a time right now, is it?
No, that is correct. But I should say any increases from an extremely low level last year, and that you know the exchange rate is a factor over here.
Right.
But I got to say it increased, but from very low levels
mm-hmm.
last year. So. That's what it is.
So, folks, those of you in the hospitality industry, hopefully that will continue to go for you. Jim, let's move down and talk about the what the government is doing for electric vehicles.
Okay.
What's the story on that?
The U.S. is providing around $100 million to a few cities, such as San Diego, Phoenix, Seattle, Nashville, and others, to help pay for the installation of recharging stations for plug-in electric vehicles.
Hmm.
Now, the thing is that they're not here yet. Nissan and GM will be producing the first plug-ins towards the end of this year, and there'll only be a relative few.
Right.
More will be produced, and you know, even it could be a million by the middle of this decade. But this is sort of priming the pump for infrastructure.
Right.
A chicken and egg situation. You know, if people may be leery to buy a plug-in vehicle if there's no place to recharge other than their house.
Right.
And many people say, well, sure, you know, we will install these commercially, but we want to be sure there are enough people with cars who will use them.
Right,
so,
right.
So,
And here's the thing: how long does it take to charge? How long is it going to have to sit there? I mean, it's not going to. You can't charge an electric car up in the time it takes to fill a gas tank.
There are variations. There are some you can recharge in 4 hours, but there are others out there, and actually they're working right now where you can get do about like an 80% fill up within 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, at least to get you down the road, get you home, maybe.
Right, fast charge. And,
well, that's good because now one of the issues that we've reported on here in the past, Jim, you've helped us with, is if every car in America were electric, our grid wouldn't handle it.
No, it wouldn't right now, which is why it's sort of imperative that we develop the so-called smart grid and have to improve transmission facilities have to produce more power
and charge a lot of these cars overnight when it's off peak.
Right. That is a very key point over here, and at that point, even batteries could be used potentially to provide electricity to the grid. And it really can do many great things.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you know, it's a chicken and egg. You need something to provide something else before something else will happen.
Right. Well, we'll see how that goes. But we'll all be having an option to buy an electric car in our future before too far out in the future. Hey, thanks, Jim, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good holiday, Jim. Good Independence Day. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that don't be afraid to try something new. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.